Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here live on Tuesday, March 19th of 2024. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And I'm grateful that you've made the determination to tune into the program. Wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be accessing the program, whether you're tuning in on your smartphone or your laptop, or maybe you are still old school and use a desktop. Maybe some people use a desktop, but I would say mostly dinosaurs use it now. I don't know if any of y'all believe the dinosaur thing or not, but I like to say the dinosaur thing is just, you know, make-believe. Because you've never heard of any real dinosaurs. You honestly believe the whole dinosaur thing is all make-believe?
No, I believe there's dinosaurs.
And they make noises in that, because obviously, how else could there be a Jurassic World?
Right.
And the Jurassic Park. And all that kind of stuff. And there are, it's just,
probably just guess what it sounded like, because nobody really heard.
Yeah, so that's why people try to fantasize, come up with their ideas about the dinosaurs. So the dinosaurs were, in fact, real. They were not, I don't think they're fantasy, but I would say there are many, many, many unanswered questions.
Yep.
Like, what did their roar exactly sound like? Mm-hmm. You know, and they can say, you know, there's a dino this and a dino that. But I would say, if dinos were alive today, I think they would use a desktop. That's why I joke about the dinosaur whenever I mention, you know, how you tune in. You say, why is it that sometimes on your show you tell jokes? Here's the thing. The Bible says laughter doeth good like a medicine.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may have pastors, say funny things and that. But they might not always say, you know, why they do. But I do it because I believe, you know, for one, God has a sense of humor.
Okay.
Two, you know, there's the thing of joy. And we need joy.
Yeah.
You know, we really need joy.
Yeah.
It's much better to have joy, the joy of the Lord in our hearts, as opposed to being down, depressed, feeling oppressed, feeling any other kind of pressed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not oppressed or depressed, but you're just pressure. if all it is just pressure, not necessarily oppressed or depressed, you're just pressed.
Right.
Pressed for time. Pressed for this. Mm-hmm. Pressed for that.
Really?
There's no sense for it. I mean, but nonetheless, you know. You know, you got to have the joy of the Lord in your heart, you know. The joy, down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. And it can sound kiddish, but some of you need to remind yourselves of that. You're going through some stuff, you know, that you got the joy of God in your heart. And you can't let the enemy steal your joy. The enemy wants to take it.
Oh, yeah.
He would love to just come in and take it. You can't just let that joy be taken from you, because the enemy would love to have you be depressed. The enemy would love for your laughter to stop, you know, for your sense, you know. He would love for you to just become super quiet and reserved and sad. The enemy would love that, but, you know, you can't let that happen. And then, you know, on earth and instead have the joy of the Lord. You know, you can lay down your sicknesses, lay down this, lay that down. Lay down the pain, lay down the shame, lay down the worry, and find the joy of the Lord instead. I'm so grateful that you've made that determination to tune into the broadcast, whether this is your first time or your 50th time or your 100th time or you've rarely missed an episode. And if that's the case, you know, thank you for your dedication. I've been doing this live for 6.5 years.
Wow.
It'll be 7 years on July 25th.
Wow.
Amen, God's been good, and I've been and I've been doing it for His glory, and and until He tells me what to do, I'm just gonna keep on being obedient.
If you know
what to do, if God gives you an assignment to do, you know what you do until He says stop or changes it? You keep doing it.
Yep.
You don't decide, oh, okay, I'm tired. I mean, at least you shouldn't go, well, okay, I'm tired of doing it. I've been doing it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
What? No. You keep doing it.
Yep.
You just keep on keeping on, doing what God told you to do, and and keep being obedient, you know, and have a good heart, a good attitude about it. And I mean, I feel like I have a good attitude about it.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I do. I'm not saying for sure, you know. I don't want to flatter myself, but you know, because, but I mean, I feel like I do. But anyhow, thank God for all of you. And also, you know, I think it's so cool how we've had listeners tune in from every continent on this globe where people live.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody's tuning in from Antarctica, but nobody lives there permanently. Thank goodness. Because down there, it's so cold on the South Pole. I mean, sometimes we want to whine when it gets cold in the winter.
Yeah.
Oh, and I look at right now where I live in my part of America, in Noblesville, Central Michigan. Right now we got highs that we're gonna have highs the next couple of days in like the 30s. Possibly got some inches of snow coming for Friday, and which is wild after we had a couple of days in the 70s last week. Three different days that were at or over 70, yet we could possibly get up to 5 inches of snow Friday. What?
Are you serious? This coming?
Yep.
5 inches?
Yeah. And what I thought about it was, what?
Ah, I didn't know that.
I was thinking, what? To me, that's a what?
That's a big what.
And I'm like, what? Oh. How do you get four different 70-degree days in the time span you're not supposed to have any yet, and then suddenly possibly get 5 inches of snow? Like, somebody tell me, what on earth is this? What have we done? What sin have we? What? But I mean, and I imagine there'll be people that'll blame climate change in that, and they'll be like, and I would say, well, there's been extreme weather ever since records have been kept. In like the 1880s, 90s, and 1870s and that and what have you. I don't mean the 1990s, I meant like the 1890s.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, but I mean, long before... And I imagine there was extreme weather before then, too. I could just about guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
And we only have 150 years worth of data or so. But, I mean, I can guarantee you over centuries prior, all kinds of extreme weather.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how else would you have an ice age if there was no extreme weather? I would call that extreme weather.
Yep.
because that, in order to have an ice age, that would mean ice even in July, wouldn't it?
Yep.
That would mean essentially endless winter. Like for those certain years, endless winter. You know, like we do. I hope the medieval warming period means, you know, endless summer for the whole year. If it was, come quick, my lord, make that medieval warming period come quickly. Come quickly. Yay. I'd love to have you. I'd love to have you around April Fools, even in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
So please, if that can be sped up, wait, so that we can see it in our lifetime, right before the trumpet blows. Even if it blows, you know, even if it blows in a couple of months, can we have it for the next couple of months? Or if it blows next week, can we have it for a week?
Right.
I mean, it's like, come on, man. But I mean, like, you know. But anyhow, I just think it's unreal that you would have like four different 70-degree days, and then turn around and have 5 inches of snow, like close to 2 weeks later. And by the way, it's the last day before the children around here go on spring break. So what's crazy about this is they could possibly, in some places, have a snow day, a no school for snow, the day before spring break. But then again, we've had a spring break ice storm before,
yeah.
Back in like 2003. I remember a spring break ice storm on Friday of spring break.
Good grief.
So like, and I don't mean day one of spring break. I mean day, like, seven of spring break. The Friday before spring break, meaning right after school was done on Friday, a couple hours later, we had, a thunderstorm. But then the next Friday, our spring break Friday, we had ice storm. Oh. What kind of picture is this? We had an ice storm warning for, like, half inch ice. Michigan for you.
Yep, sure is.
Another crazy spring weather story. Some of y'all might remember this. Some of y'all might not. But in 2018, around like, we had a rather large ice storm on April 14th. So, like it was 2 weeks or so, a week and a half after spring break had ended. No, 1 week that year. Yeah, 1 week. So previous Saturday, April 7th, we would have been finishing spring break. But then April 14th, big ice storm started. Me and a friend went down to Ohio to this indoor amusement park event. What it was an event where they would set up carnival rides, fair rides, in a major indoor environment. It was called the IX Indoor Amusement Park. The last time they did it was right before, was 2019, so the year before COVID. But anyhow, so we would drive in, and from here to Flint, freezing rain was coming down. But then once we got, a bit past Flint, we noticed it was just rain, and man, we sped up but then while up here, there was tons of ice, like a half inch plus of ice. Got to where, Sunday morning there was still church, Living Word, but then the state police advised that for Sunday night for them not to have church. So for a lot of the day Sunday, me and my friend were enjoying the rides. you know, 4 o'clock or so, we decided to make the drive up. And so that we wouldn't necessarily get up while the freezing rain, up here while the freezing rain was going, you know, we stopped to Waffle House. In Michigan, we don't have Waffle Houses, but in Ohio, they do. I think the area in which I've been to the most Waffle Houses is Toledo, Ohio, honestly. Because here in Michigan, we don't have any, but Toledo does, and Toledo's right next to the border. So, you know, we go to Waffle House, get some food. We come up here, you know, and again, once we got to, it was doing that thing again where the closer we got to here, the worse the roads got. It almost felt like it was rigged. But I felt like it was a blessing in disguise because I got to be having fun on the ride.
Yeah.
Well, up here they were, you know, all locked in their houses and wondering, will the power go out or not? Will the power go out or not? You know, but I was living it up. We went to Chick-fil-A. We went to a mall, you know, the night before, and it was busy. Like at like 7 p.m., the mall was busy. Imagine that, the mall was busy. you know, some of your rural areas, your mall's dead. Doesn't have too much, or even if it has a decent amount of stores, probably nobody's in it. But you know, it was busy. But up here, most of the malls would have been empty because ice. And some people might say, oh, it's just ice. But to me, while I was down there having fun, I would have said the ice up here was just ice. You know?
Uh-huh.
I would have been like, we're balling. We go to Chick-fil-A. We got this going down and all that. And I'd be like, to those of us up here, for those who were up here, they're like, well, when will this ever stop?
Right.
For us, it's like, I just wish the time could have went by slower. You know?
Right.
While we were like down there in Cleveland, you know, enjoying the IX Indoor Amusement Park. They still have the IX Center. There was a good chance, you know, right after COVID, that thing could have been closed for forever. Luckily, it wasn't, but
right.
They haven't brought the rides back. Because of the fallout from the pandemic, which, by the way, folks, have to address this because we have basically just crossed the 4-year anniversary of, you know, the thing, the plague, you know, the shutdown being started.
Wow.
And 2 years, and oh, by the way, so what's this? 15 days to slow the spread. Trying to think, where did that go? Oh, it was forever and ever 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 to slow the spread. More like 15 months, or close to 15 months, before the state of Michigan was fully reopened. Even the head of the National Something of Infectious Diseases, Anthony Fauci at the time, he came out in the last couple of months and said, those mask things that I recommended and the mask requirement on airplanes and all that, and all the 6 feet recommendations and stuff was, quote, excessive. They said it was excessive.
Yes.
I'm glad that he himself said that. Mm-hmm. The wicked guy that he is. And I'm glad that he came out and said that.
Yep, me too.
Next, he'll find Jesus. That must be a special miracle. Mm. I mean, that when Jesus finds him and he repents,
yeah,
that'll be a special miracle. And he can, that would be a special miracle if Anthony Fauci got saved.
Yes.
If he can save Fauci, oh, he can save anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, but the plan was to shut down the church for good. Some of you may think, we're the church. Us as humans are the church. We are. That's correct. But they did not want us to gather together anymore. When the Bible said, do not forsake yourselves of the gathering together, even the more so as you see the day approaching. Not the less so. And some people might say, well, don't you know about what they got planned for the election? Don't you know about what they might have planned for next year? About another, you know, pandemic, another pandemic, another mandemic, another scamdemic, plant, we don't know, whatever you want to call it, mosque, blah, 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 blah. you know, I don't know necessarily all the dates and that, but I've heard some things and that, you know. But you know what? I don't think they're going to get it right. They're not going to get it. I don't think they're going to get it quite right this time. Things will happen in some places and that, and we are in the last days. But I don't think they're going to be able to get in the next year what they really want to get. I don't think so. I think, as people pray, their plans, at least for now, will fail. And I think God's going to have his way. I mean,
sure will. I know he will.
I believe it's going to be done. And you know, why else would God be telling certain preachers to go explore other countries for 2025? Well, why would he tell a pastor to explore other countries in 2025 when people's minds, people might hear and think of like, well, isn't 2025 the year that this pandemic thing or whatever is supposed to happen? But apparently this shows that God's doing something. You know, and his will be done. It will be done. You know, and I pray, that the plans of the enemy continue to be exposed, even when it comes to our election in November here in this country. For those of you who don't live in America, pray for America, please. America could use your prayers. Really could. The Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I'm not going to use my show to become a political platform, even though I know some things in that and things, you know, and might have some opinion. The thing is, when we launched my show, it wasn't necessarily, we didn't design it so that it could mostly be a political program. I mean, here's the thing, and I know I'm going to be, and I think a lot of Christians would like some political things I would have to say, or a lot of it. But the thing is, I don't feel like it's what God's called me to do on my programs. And here and there, I might mention something here and there, you know, and we talk about, you know, making sure you get out to vote. We're on election time, but I don't come on here and use up my time on my program to make it political. I mean, if you want that, you can turn on someone like Mark Levin. You can turn on someone like Sean Hannity. They'll tell you some stuff. You say, do you agree with Mark Levin? On a lot of things. Spoiler alert. Yes, I do. Might I say some things a little bit differently? Sure. You know, but the thing is that's not what, you know, I'm all about, you know, bringing you the word of God and that kind of stuff. And you know what? You'll hear more from me than you would hear from them. If my show was a place, you'd be hearing from me a lot. Pray over this country. Pray over this country. But I don't use it, my show, as a political platform. Even if I did, you'd hear a lot more about how important prayer is than what you do from those other people. But for those of us here in this country, if we want to see changes, we've got to vote. And prayer alone won't necessarily do it. We've got to vote. So I'm gonna say all I'm gonna say about that, because got some stuff I want to get to. Real quick, starting tomorrow night, gonna start teaching on Easter, Resurrection Day, Resurrection Time. Because people might say, you know, why did they call it Easter? Yeah, I might not know exactly why they call it Easter, what it has to do with the East, whatever. But I would say Easter Sunday should really be Resurrection Sunday, the day our Lord Jesus was resurrected from the dead. There's a reason why there's four accounts in your Bible of what happened and the resurrection and all that. There's a reason for that. Because those writers wanted to make sure that people understood it and all that. They thought it was important. Easter is important. Resurrection Sunday is important for believers. And we'll be talking about that, you know, including this. You'll probably hear me mention it in these sermons at some point. He proved lockdowns don't work because he rose up from the grave. So that meant that when he died, you know, and they put him in the tomb, you know, like generally when you put in that tomb, you know, and you're dead, you're locked down, you can't move. But that's proof. Lockdowns don't work. They didn't work during, you know, the plague. Before that, the thing of lockdowns didn't work. They didn't work all those years ago either when Jesus died on the cross and rose to life again. They didn't work then either.
Nope.
So the other thing I want to remind you about real quick, the two things I always mentioned to you. Number one, the book Rivers of Miracles. And I want to say thank you for all of you who have bought the book. Those of you who have passed it out, keep passing it out. And for those of you who haven't, who don't even know what it is, it's a story of the book. The book is a story of, about me and my mom. It's called Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of a God my mom could not see with her natural eyes, but strongly believed in. And you got a lot of, I like to think of it this way. It's a 2-for-1 testimony special. You get my testimony in the book as you read it. Now God's been so faithful and he continues to help me in my endeavors. And also you get my mom's story. My story and my mom's story. You get a 2-for-1 special. You get to hear about two testimonies for the price of one. And I think that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
You know, and you get, and what you see is neither of us have given up. We keep trusting, we keep believing, and we've seen some breakthroughs, both of us. And for you, I believe at an individual level, we're going to see more breakthroughs this year than we have in a very long time. For those of us that stick with God's word, I believe we're going to see more breakthroughs this year than what we've seen in a long time. I honestly believe that. More breakthroughs, more miracles. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's a parking lot miracle. A miracle is a miracle. If you pray for it and your prayers are answered, you know, and you may say, why isn't it always immediate? Why does it always have to be in the nick of time? I don't know. Would I like to know when I get to heaven and ask him? Yeah. Oh, Mr. Impatient. Well, I'm curious. I think there's people I know that are more impatient than me. As a matter of fact, I think so. I mean, a lot of people, so many of us are somewhat impatient. To have true patience is honestly a virtue.
Love is patient.
Love is patient. And I think a lot of us would call ourselves somewhat impatient.
Right.
It's just like, to what degree, you know? Because in the situation that I might find myself patient and collected, someone else might be, come on! Where I might be, come on! Someone else might be, oh, it's fine. Truth of the matter is, I think it's all, a lot of times it can be situation-based. Like, what are you trying to do at the moment, or whatever. You know? Isn't that the truth? A lot of it can be situation-based, I feel like.
Yeah.
What is it you're trying to do? Are you in a hurry to get there because of what time it is? And you're impatient because you know what time it is? And you know you have to be there, you know?
Right.
You
see a lot of it in driving with people.
Oh, yeah. But anyhow, you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com, to buy the book. Let me tell you something. When you read the book, you won't be sorry you read it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I pray that you reading that book will build up your faith. I pray it will. And another thing I want to remind you about, the PayPal. I want to say thank you for all of you who have sown a seed to the PayPal, to the Miracle Man Show. Thank you to all of you who have done that. To all these partners who have done that, thank you for that, for your seed, and I pray for you, and I call you blessed, and I call your seed blessed. Those of you who have sown seed, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. And I know the Lord, is grateful that you would do that. And I would say, if you've been blessed by this, and you love what God's done in your life, then why not consider, you know, sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program? And you can go and know this. When you sow into this program, you are sowing a seed into good, fertile ground. This isn't the rock. This isn't just a path where the birds of the air just come and eat it. This isn't thorny either. Nope, none of that. It's good ground. And the yield of the crop, 30, 60, and 100-fold what was sold. And so, to sow your seed, you can go to paypal.com. In the search bar, you'll want to type in Rivers Shukla. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. Another thing I want you to keep in mind is the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So if you would kindly make a note of that, I'd appreciate that very much. Yep, and then the verse on a Saudi life. Therefore, let me think here. Therefore, God is able to make all things abound toward you through every good work. Not one, not two, not three, all good works. So another one. Therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs according to what the Dow Jones Industrial Average stocks did yesterday. Oh, let's try this again. My God shall supply all of your needs according to the price of bread, milk, eggs. Therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Not according to all these economic data or data, whatever you want to call it. You know, because sometimes I'll tease, you know, and I'll say, like, it's according to, you know, a certain piece of economic data, like, or whatever, you know, like, but it's not based on that. It's according to his riches and glory. God's economy is constant. It's not like here on the earth where it goes up, goes down, and all this volatility, you know. But you just trust in God. Believe God. For your daily bread. Live. And so God bless you as you sow your seed. I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. I'm not ashamed of the one you saved, the way you saved my soul. I'm not ashamed of the way you saved my soul. Sing, little God, sing from the rooftop. Sing, I'm not ashamed of the way you saved my soul. I'm not ashamed of the way you saved my soul. Jesus, take us all away from the rooftop. Sing, I'm not ashamed of the way you saved my soul. I'm not ashamed of the way you saved my soul. Oh, I thought I remembered that, but we'll try this one.
Okay.
Look how you lifted me from every run, my God, from every victory. I've got a song to sing. Look how you lifted me. My days were numbered. My world was crashing. My Oh, hallelujah. Look how you lifted me. Yes. He rose in triumph. He picked me from the miry clay. He won the crimson. He won the crown. Oh, hallelujah. Look how you lifted me. Yeah. Look how you lifted me from the darkness. My God is alive. For every victory, I've got a song to sing. Look how he lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down. Your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down. Your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. Oh, look how he lifted me from the evening to darkness, and I am alive in his light, yeah. For every victory, I've got a song to sing, yeah. Look how he lifted me from the darkness, he rose in the light, yeah. Through every victory, I've got a song to sing. Look how he lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down. Your love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. When nothing else could help, your love came down and love came down. When nothing else could help, your love came down and lifted me. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. When my heart is overwhelmed and overwhelming, when I feel your hands of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for your God, for your God. The road ahead gets deep. I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done in the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out to remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours. And that my heart is filled with hope, and every promise comes my way. I hold on to the word is true, though I cannot see. Staying desperate for you, God, staying humble at your feet. I will lift these hands in faith, oh, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done, yes, and the life I have because of your son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out to remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. Love came down. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out to remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours. I am yours. I am yours. I am all my days. Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days. Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're the one who made the heavens. You're the one who made shape the earth. You're the one who formed my heart long before my birth. I believe you always lead me. All my days have been ordained. All your thoughts toward me are holy, full of love and grace. You are the one, you are holy. You are the one, you are worthy. You are the one, you are the one everlasting. You're the one who made the heaven. You're the one who shaped the earth. You're the one who formed my heart long before my birth. I believe you always lead me. All my days have been ordained. All your thoughts toward me are holy, full of love and grace. You are the one, you are holy. You are the one, you are worthy. You are the one, you are the one, everlasting. You are the one I will worship. You are the one I will serve all my days. You are the one, you are the one, everlasting. You are the one. Over this program tonight. Sponsors come to this program that finances come in, that more and more listeners tune in. Most importantly of all, thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 20. I'm going to talk to you tonight about something. No new carts. No new carts. It's about the Ark of God. That's what I meant when I said no new carts. And we'll skip around a little bit because it goes to chapter 6, so there'll be some that we'll skip. But so I'm going to start with chapter 4, verse 20 of 1 Samuel. And it says, and then, actually, verse 21. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God was captured. The deaths of her father-in-law and husband. And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, and the ark of God has been captured." Chapter 5. After the Philistines had captured the ark of God, you see what had happened? The Philistines got their hands on the ark. Supposed to be the ark of God, but the Philistines got a hold of it. Think about that. The Philistines got the ark of, got a hold of it. We'll keep on reading though. The ark of God. And they took it from Eleazar to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark to Dagon's temple, set it between beside Dagon. Then the people of Ashdod rose early the next day. There was Dagon, fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning, when they rose, there was Dagon, fallen on his face before the ark of the Lord. Again, his head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why to this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. The Lord's hand was heavy upon the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation upon them and afflicted them with tumors. When the men of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, "The ark of the God, they called him little g, the ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us because his hand is heavy upon us and upon Dagon, our God, little g." They called together all the rulers of the Philistines and asked them, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Have the ark of the God of Israel moved to Gath." They moved the ark of the God of Israel. But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand was against that city, throwing it into a great panic. He afflicted the people of the city, both young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. As the ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "They brought the ark of the God of Israel's around to us to kill us and our people." They called together all the rulers of the Philistines and they said, "Send the ark of the God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place or it will kill us and our people." for death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was very heavy upon it. Those who did not die were afflicted with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up, turning the page, to heaven. Now, chapter 6. When the ark of the Lord had been in Philistine territory 7 months, the Philistine called for the priests and the diviners and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we will send it back to its place." They answered, "If you return the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it away empty, but by all means send a guilt offering to him. Then you will be healed, and you will know why his hand has not been lifted from you." The Philistines asked, "What guilt offering should we send to him?" They replied, 5 gold tumors and 5 lobots, according to the number of the Philistine numbers, because the same plague has struck both you and your rulers. Make models of the tumors and rats and destroying the country and pay honor to Israel's God. Perhaps he will lift his hand from you and your gods and your land. Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Philistines thought? When he treated them harshly, did they not send the Israelites out so they could go on their way? Now then, get a new cart ready. Get a new cart ready. So, you see, people get all excited. And they're like, and they think, the ark is coming up the road! The ark is coming up the road! And they get all happy. And it would have been the right way had they not placed the ark on a new cart. There was to be no new cart. No new cart. Ichabod had been written on the door and all that. But then the ark ends up at Amminadab's house. So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came. They took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark. And then, you know what happened? After the ark came back, people repented. They put away their false gods. They repented. Imagine if those other people had not decided to, because they wanted to get rid of the ark, because those people kept sending the ark to this place, then they sent it to that place, then they sent it to that place, then they sent it to that place, and it had been in the hands of the Philistines for 7 months. Why? Because the Philistines had captured the ark. Captured. In other words, they had basically stolen it. They had stolen it. They weren't supposed to have it, but they got their hands on it. They probably thought, Oh, this is neat. Because that Ark of God, you see, that thing was sacred. And you don't mess with that. You don't mess with the stuff of God. No, you don't. And, you know, and at first, you know, people who believe God, they get excited. They got excited, you know, when the Ark of God came. First, what had happened was, before I started reading, you know, Eli heard that the Ark of God was captured. But then when he heard that the Ark of God was captured, he falls down, breaks his neck, dies. 98 years old. And, you know, and the Ark of God, you know, have been captured by the Philistines. But you say, how is that in modern times? The Ark of God would be like the church. You know, that's like what the Ark is. It can also be like, in us, those of us who serve him. But it's like, but the Ark of God, you know.
That was before Jesus.
Right? Yeah, that was before Jesus. But still, you know.
That's
and
what they held on to.
Yeah, and they would hold on to the Ark of God. And they, and when I first heard it taught this way, you know, obviously I know it was in the Bible, but I'd first heard it taught this way from, R.W. Shambach back in the early 1990s. Oh, let me tell you, Shambach preached big time. R.W. Shambach back in the 1990s, he preached that at Dominion Camp Meeting, Columbus, Ohio, Rod Parsley's church, World Harvest. They call it the Harv now, but, you know, down there at the Harv. Columbus, Ohio. Let me tell you, I've personally been there. Let me think here. One, two, three different times I've been there to his Dominion camp meeting, to at least one night of it. And I loved hearing the ones from the 90s. This guy, a couple different guys put on all the different night sermons that were preached there from the 1990s. And it's crazy how things and, like, some of the stuff from the 90s is still relevant today. Mm-hmm. The Word of God is still relevant. And even things they would talk about that were going on in the earth and certain things and, the, you know, the different things, how in some ways it was so relevant to the 2020s. You know, a decade that was as much as 33, 34 years ago. And it's still relevant. You know, and R.W. Shambach taught it this way because he was there a couple of the nights. And one of the nights he taught this message, no new carts, no new carts. Because the thing is, you know, and you know, the people who touched the ark, you know, and they put the new cart on it. They weren't supposed to put a new cart on it. They probably thought, oh, this new cart will do the job. Not knowing, some maybe they did know, but they were not supposed to put that cart there. That cart was not meant to be there. They didn't do it God's way. As if they had done it God's way, but they didn't.
It was supposed to be on the old cart.
The ark wasn't supposed to be on a new cart.
Not a cart, period?
Nope. It wasn't supposed to be on a cart.
Oh.
No new cart. They were supposed to do it God's way, and they didn't. This is why you got, when God gives you certain directions like that, you have to follow it, do it his way, the way he says, not the way your mind says, you know, that it ought to be done. Like, oh, if I do this, you know, I get this cart. So I put this cart on, maybe the ark will move extra fast. And it'll move like 100 miles an hour. Yay! like down the I-75 or whatever. But oh, by the way, this is before the cars. This was even before Jesus, so that wouldn't even work. So dog on it. But I would have loved Trump. I would have loved to have thought that and be like, oh, look, it's like the Golden Arches, but this is way bigger. It's the Golden Arch, and it's way brighter. We can see it miles ahead of us. It's the Golden Arch. And they're like, yeah. But they didn't do it God's way. They didn't do it God's way. They put the new cart. They put a cart on when God had said no new cart. No new cart. You know? And in it, you know, that sermon he had talked, you know, briefly about how he was one of the first preachers to go into Russia after, you know, the Soviet Union stuff had been torn down. And he said, and he honestly said he had more hope for Russia than he did for America. He said that. And he said, and he basically said, I could go into these Russian schools and preach, but I can't go into American schools and preach. It was like, we banned God out of schools.
Our way.
We're like, you know, our way. Man's way doesn't work. You know, you say, what's wrong with our children? What's wrong with our children? Why are our children so? That's what happens when you take God out of school. Imagine if we had preachers in our school. Imagine if we had teachers in our schools that prayed. Just imagine. Because what's happened since then. Church attendance in America has not went up. It's went down. The amount of morality in our children has went down. Because people have decided my way. My way or the highway. And this is what happened when people in robes decided there should be no more prayer in school. My hope is that we can see that reversed. Because we had Roe Wade reversed. Thank Jesus for that. That was amazing. That was a miracle. Hopefully we can get this turned back too, so we can have prayer in our schools again. Because we need it.
Yes, we do.
And I think then maybe we'd have some kids a bit less ashamed to pray.
Yeah.
Because my Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Oh.
And I can just imagine if kids went through our schools winning their friends for Christ, how cool that would be.
Yeah.
What people have decided, but so way too many people have decided, I want this, but I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way or the highway. In other words, they're like, my way or no way.
Right.
And these people just decide, you know, I'm just going to do it, you know, the way I think is right. Even if God, and some of them will be like, even if God says no, when God said no new car, he didn't mean, oh, I guess you can use a new card if you want. I'm sorry. He doesn't do that. He doesn't apologize. But, you know, when he makes commandments like that and he tells something to do, you got to do it the way he said. Folks, you're going to serve God. You can't serve God the way you want to. We don't get to serve God the way we want. We have to serve God the way he said. You know, and if he said, stay away from this, you know, to the New Testament Christian if he said, stay away from this, stay away from evil. That doesn't mean, oh, go ahead and play around with it. It's fine.
Uh-huh.
It means stay away from it.
Uh-huh.
And if you sin, repent. When do I get to stop repenting? When you stop sinning. I mean, God made it so we could understand it.
Uh-huh.
But some people just decide, for whatever reason, you see my phone, some people decide, for whatever reason, that they're just going to do it their own way or the highway.
7:47 p.m.
Whoops, sorry about that. Sorry about that. I don't know why I meant for it to tell all y'all what time it is. But I mean, it's like he told you. He told them, you know. But those Philistines got their hands up on it. And those people, they kept getting tumors in that. And then the next city would get it. And they were, like, being those Philistines, you know, they did not like the ark. They did not like God at all. They didn't want any part of the ark. We have to do this walk with God the way he said to. And not just do it our own little ways, our own little, I think it should be this way. I think it should be that way. I think it should be. I get it, there's personal preferences. But when God says things very specific, got to do it his way. If he gives you directions to do it a certain way, then you got to do it his way. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we would get these words in our heart. Help us to serve you your way, not just any old way that we might feel like, but the way you would want us to. And I thank you for that in your name. And I thank you that you're healing every body. You're healing every mind.
Yeah.
You're delivering every person that needs deliverance tonight. You know what all these people need. And I thank you that you are helping these people right now, right where they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll talk to y'all tomorrow night.